good morning and bless God today. I thank God for Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I thank God for you and you and you and you and all of you that are joining us this morning for a Sunday service. Let's just slip our hands together wherever we are, clap our hands and tell the Lord, Lord, I thank you for this another day. Amen. I am grateful that God have given us such a perfect and holistic salvation, one that permits us to know him in our existence, to acknowledge him in our ways, and in a salvation that permits us the understanding of the importance of God ordering our steps. I am grateful today. Even as we have come here today, this is another show of God's purpose to redeem mankind back unto himself. Our being here today is God showing us and reminding us how precious we are to him, because even in all that we have had to do, we've set aside this time to come to this place. No one forced you to come. No one placed upon you any duress or placed you in the place of duress where you were forced to tune in this morning, but out of the freedom that is given by Jesus Christ, we have joined here together in this place. And for that, I say, thank you, Lord. Let us pray, and we're going to seek God for a word from his heavenly throne. Eternal God, we thank you today for the many things that you have done that causes us to know that you are strong today, to know, God, that you are the one that have made us and made our lives complete. We thank you, O Lord, our God, for granting us this opportunity and for the ability to seize it. And now, God, as we arrest it and we take it now unto ourselves, we ask, God, that you will, by your Holy Spirit, let us receive from this the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let those things that your Holy Spirit teach us, that your Holy Spirit bring to our remembrance, comfort us in the process. Let these things take full effect in our life. God, whatever we receive today, let it be something that does not flee. But God, let what we obtain today and we receive from the Holy Spirit, let it linger and last. Let it direct us as we go forward. Lord, let us live in what we learn from you. We ask, oh God, that you will, by the Spirit of revelation, let us receive something today that causes us to deepen our relationship with you. And God, that is through the revelatory expression that only you can give, because you created us so that you might reveal yourself unto us. And oh God, we come in here today knowing this fully so. So we ask you, oh God, to now please do this. And we humbly request in the mighty name of Jesus. And they all said, amen. 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 God bless you. Oh, welcome back. As you're closing in on the days that are the final few days of another year, no need to ask where did time go, because it certainly doesn't stay. It goes, it moves, it comes and it goes. And in times passing, we are growing closer to something. You're not just getting old, you're growing closer to something. And when we look at it in the light of why God created us, we're coming to know him more as time passes. And we're having even yet a closer relationship with him. So we ought to be glad that time have ushered us to this place. Amen. You've got to really feel today like I'm not getting bitter, but I'm getting better. All right. I'm not getting bitter, but I'm getting better. I have some moments that actually I could be bitter. But when I look at it through the eyes of God, I'm getting better.
All right.
I'm able to handle things better, to deal with things better. You should be. If you are making the required spiritual maturation, if you're maturing in Christ, you should be able to handle things better. Yes. It's not that things get easier. It's just that experience maketh hope. And that hope that we have just matures us in Christ Jesus to where we can handle things in a way that we could not have handled them before. Amen. Times are changing, but things are still remaining the same. The enemy is seeking to destroy us, to block us in every way that he can, in everything that he can. Even through our life circumstances, he's looking to set us back and cause us to want to really just give up, because he thinks that this is going to be some slap in God's face. He tried so hard, even at the death of Jesus Christ, to get what God had set to give life to be a total embarrassment. Jesus looked from Calvary and said, "For this cause came I to the world." And he could have really just, I guess, I don't know, for the lack of really expressing it, there's so many things that Jesus could have said from Calvary. Right. But he didn't get in his arrogancy. But he had already told his disciples, "No man takes my life, but I'm laying my life down, and in 3 days I'm going to take it up again." Now, if that had been me out there, I probably would have had a lot of things to say to them that probably would have been out of my arrogance. All right. But Jesus was humble, knowing that what you're doing, except it be permitted by my Father, it couldn't be done. And this is for a greater cause. So today, I want us to Father our relationship building with Christ through the Word of God. I want us to gather and to gain something. Lady Cass, if you don't mind, slide the master volume on that board up just a little bit for me. I don't know if it's because of maybe some congestion and I'm hearing the way that I'm hearing. Yes. But I just needed, yeah, that's exactly what I needed. It was just like I was kind of muffled in myself and what I was hearing. This morning, I'm going to take just some personal time with you, some private time, and that I'm addressing those of you that have been given to me to watch over your souls, because that's what your me pastoring is all about, a gift from God to watch over your souls and make sure that you have a consistent flow of the Word of God. So that you can compare, so that you can confirm, and it will help you in what God have already spoken to you in the Spirit. There's not a lot of things that I say to you that's new to you or news to you. But when it's said often, the children of God that have been given for me to pastor over will say, "I was just thinking about that," or "I just read that," or "I just heard that." This helps to increase our faith. There's always something promising, even when you know what you're where you're going. A sign or something that is significant that lets you know that you're headed in the right direction. Jock is a driver, and I'm sure that many of his trips are routine in that he travels them often, but every now and then you'll be given a destination that you haven't traveled before. And even with the assistance of maps and other devices, every now and then it's good to see a sign that lets you know that you're going in the right direction. Something that lets you know that you are en route and that your destination can be reached on the road in which you're traveling. Preaching is much like that. It's just a reminder that the route that you have selected, that you can actually reach your destination, there's a sign, something that is said, something that is preached, something that is heard, that lets you know that you're headed in the right direction. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my pathway. What is the difference between a lamp and a light? I believe when the prophet says this, he says that the word of God, one, a lamp illuminates where I am. It shows me that my surroundings are well. I'm secure with where I am. A light is something that lets you see forward, or it gives some illumination to the path that you must take. Okay. So the word of God secures me where I am and reassures me with where I'm going. It's okay to say amen. And that's what the word of God is for me. It's good for now, and it's good for my direction. Now, today, I want to just take time with you personally, if you're here personally or if you're at home. Put yourself in a spiritually relaxed position and let me just talk to you for a minute about some things that are just right here, more objectively, something that is present, and the attitude that you should have with the way that things are happening. And it's a lot that's going on. Our world, based upon your perspective, it's no worse than it was 20 years ago. Faces have changed. Things are just the same. Again, that depends upon, I guess, your way of looking at it. I want to bring that down and narrow that down to something that is more simple, something that we can identify with, something that's God have put in place that is much like a measure or a yardstick. Something that you can compare what is to what God has in mind or what God have planned for you. Winter, as it is coming now, I guess, in some not many days from now, we're currently in the season of fall. And we are on our way to winter. This is a good place for me to start, because for us here, now this may not be for all places that are listening to me this morning, especially if you are in the mountainous area of Colorado. Things may be going and seasons may be changing as they normally would. But for here, where we are in this part of Alabama, this is most unusual for a fall season. It's rather warm. Doesn't feel a lot like fall outside. We're still wearing short sleeve shirts. When we had that cold snap a few weeks ago, I threw a jacket in the back seat so that it would be on ready. And all I can do now is keep moving it out of the way, because I haven't come close to a day that I needed that jacket. And it's been in there now for, I guess that cold snap was almost a month ago. We scurried quickly to get hay into the area for the animals, dogs that we have. And it's too hot for that too. What winter means to you, in the literal sense, by way of definition, will certainly help you determine where you want to be when winter comes. I'm going to say that one more time. However you define winter and what it means to you, if you would just become conscious of that for a moment, that winter is coming, it will certainly help you determine where you want to be when winter comes. But do acknowledge that winter is coming. And it's a good time for you to remind yourself what that season is all about. Yes. Winter carries with it a literal sense. Winter has a symbolic sense, and then winter has a spiritual definition. What winter is literally cold, unbearable at times, and it can make you uncomfortable if you are forced to have to deal with it in its element, literally. Symbolically, winter takes on a different definition. And then, of course, spiritually, it takes on a different definition. But let's all agree, winter is coming. Romans chapter 8 is where I would like to read first, just to make a point so that the scriptures can be first and foremost in my talking with you today. Let me read a word of scripture. Verse number 6 in Romans chapter 8, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, because the flesh or the carnal mind is the enemy of God. Again, verse number 6, I have the option, the choice, and have been given by God the opportunity to be spiritually minded, so that I can have not only life, but I can have peace in life. when I make practice of being spiritually minded. Amen. That's some good instruction. Keep my mind so that the central focus is God, not myself, not my circumstance, not others, but God. That's my focus. There are other things that may have my attention, but other things never absorb my focus. My focus is always God. There is something that is attempting to obstruct my concept of God. My circumstances is trying to block who God is to me. Problems are trying to barricade my communication with God, but they are only something that is obvious before me, but it does not stop my focus on God. And I'll never permit anything or permit myself to be so carnally induced that I would permit it to stop me from seeing God. And you need to say that today. Nothing and nobody will stop my focus on God. So now when I take this verse of scripture in retrospect, I have talked to you over, as I was just up today and just moved with this message, because my time with God, I don't have to spend all week getting no sermon ready. The word of God that runs so deep inside of me, after having spent so long with God, there is a word that is ever ready. And today, the comfort of just taking this time to just talk to you. And in retrospect, when I think about just this time that I'm having with you, the messages that have led up to this, I've encouraged you to really take under serious consideration that God wants you to be at peace right now. Even in your pain, find peace. Even in the turmoil, the problems, even sometimes the sickness. Because God says, I'm telling you this, Jesus, remember the verse of scripture that said, Jesus says, I'm telling you this while I'm still here with you, that I have prayed to my Father that he will send you a comforter after I'm gone. And that he is going to, number one, he's going to teach you. And he's going to bring to your remembrance everything that I have taught you. And he says, I have prayed that you be the recipient and receive a peace that the world cannot give. The peace that I have spoken about over these periods of time and these last few weeks have been under such titles as lighten your load. And then another that was lighten your load too. And then last week, 20 seconds, as we went to Calvary to find a source of peace in knowing what Christ God has done in the giving of his Son and how complete that is. Now, I have, as I look in retrospect now, thanking God for him giving these words to you, it causes me to know that all that I'm doing now as your man of God is that I'm intending to give you something that will help you transcend get past being focused on yourself, on your circumstances, and on others, and fix your focus on God so that you can really come to know the peace that God has given you. Now, that's important. We have used King Uzziah, the year he died. Isaiah say, that was the year that I saw the Lord high, lifted up, seen him, saw him in a way that I'd never seen him before. That's a lot of peace for God to reveal himself to you in a way that you have never experienced him before. You should say amen. And it's up to you to know that what God is doing before me has nothing to do with the natural or the carnal. That the presentation that God has placed before me is wholly divine, spiritual. And what God is causing me to see in the way that I'm seeing it, the world can't give that. I cannot learn that. No man can teach that to me. Can I teach you to believe? No. I can teach you as a believer. But I will perish, cease to exist standing here. I will do more than turn black and blue. I will just cease to exist thinking that I can teach you to believe. But I can teach you as the believer. And I'm wanting you to really escape all of this bondage and these hostage situations that are placed upon us by world events, current events, campaigning, elections, gubernatorial races, presidential races, Senate races, representative races, mayoral races, what's happening in Decatur, Housewives of Atlanta, what's going on in Dallas. Get past all of this stuff and see what God is saying to you. Right here, I want to read another scripture, and that's in Matthew chapter 24. Let me see how much of this we're going to read. Matthew 24. I see where to start. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse number 3. I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but I certainly pattern myself and conduct my behavior and my actions after him. Verse number 3, Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him, how? Privately. And what did they ask him? What was their request? Tell us. That's it. Tell us. Tell us, they said. Tell us. Talk to us. Teach us. Not in the crowd, not in the assembly, not while others are here, but tell us right now, just us. Tell us. I'm a poor father before my sons and my daughters. If the only time that I want to flex as being a father is when I'm out and other people can see it so that I can be recognized as being some great father. But when I take the time to say that this is just for you, tell us, when will this happen and what will be the sign of the coming and the end of the age. What do they want to know? They want to know exactly what I told you the Word of God does when it's a light to your pathway. Tell us what to expect. Now, how did I start this off? I told you all what's coming. What season is coming? And this is a good time to prepare for. The end is coming. Tell us so that we can be better prepared when the end comes. Back to Jock as an example of him being a driver. It's a poor thing to get on the road, have it in drive, doing the speed limit, and now you want to go and use something to give you some idea of where you're going while you're driving. That's unsafe. Certainly not wise. You should have some plan, some idea, something that prepares you to what is before you, and not be like everyone else, the old cliche, running around like a chicken with your head cut off, flipping, flopping, and all otherwise, having fits over dumb stuff. How many times over the last 2 weeks have you had to think, even if you didn't tell them, why are you all up in the air and all worried about that foolishness? Have any of y'all had to say that over the last week or two? Or you wanted to tell somebody, but you just let them go ahead in their own ignorance and just trip out over something that they cannot change? And then they'll look at you like, well, why are you sitting up there like this not really going on? No, I'm secured in a place of peace. I got a word that sustains me. I got something that'll hold me, baby, in a time like this. So Jesus answered them, and he's going to answer their question, and I'm going to quote, number one, watch out that no one deceives you, because during this time and as this time is coming, there will be many that's coming in my name claiming that they are the Messiah, and they will deceive many. He continues, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations are going to rise against nations, kingdom against kingdoms. There will be famines, earthquake in various places. All of these things are the beginning of birth pains. Based on that last verse, number 8, did you hear the word winter? What's your definition of winter? What is winter, Cassie? What does it mean? Yes. Exactly. Tracy? Jock? Cold, don't want to get up in the morning. I'm going to ride on that one. Cold. Does anyone see winter as a time of rebirth? Does anyone see winter as a time of the summation of it all? All of the seasons have come. This is what they have done, and now it's over. Does anyone see winter as being the final cycle of all cycles? Spring, summer, and fall. Whatever those seasons brought, winter brings it to an end. Everything that you achieved, everything, all of the grass that you planted, all of the flowers that you planted, now you've got to get all of that stuff. Everything has to be brought in because
The season of winter itself brings something that is in a part of, now women, you can identify with this. As you're preparing to bring something forth, there is so much sacrifice. I think fall is beautiful because it's colorful, but it's this final stage before the birth process. Before a plant comes up, a seed must first go into the soil and do what? Die. Winter is a symbol of death. But you cannot focus on the death because it is equally as much and more, hear me carefully, rebirth. See, spring, when you see it coming out, that's when everybody is happy, but the mother is laying up there like, I just went through 9 months of pain to make this day happen. Somebody say amen. And while you're sitting there and she looking like you just drug her through the mud, that's right. That's when you, after you give birth, it's not a pretty sight. I heard my wife say that she was about to throw pictures away. That was after birth. All of these pictures. I said, no, you don't do that because that happened. It's a reminder of what you put in and how you look. I know you got to, I need us to really, y'all got to ride with me here today. While everybody else is all excited about the pretty and the Google and the Gaga, you're sitting there about what I have gone through. The winter of this whole birth process. This is where the time was put in. This is where the labor was put in. We're adults. All the fun has been had through the other seasons. Now comes the time for labor. Now comes the time for work. This is where the rebirth process begins. I'm going to read Father. Jesus says you got to watch out when this time comes because you're going to hear a lot of things, but don't let these things that you are hearing, even though they are occurring, discourage you. Let me put a pin here. Stay spiritually minded. Do not become carnal. Tell your neighbor, don't panic. See, this is a time of vulnerability. I'm drawing all of this out of this verse of text. This is a time of vulnerability. Why? Because it's winter. Because I want to stay in the bed and stay warm. Cold, don't want to get up. Vulnerable. This is a time that someone can come and deceive you because of your vulnerability, because of the season that we're in, to try to sidestep you with, and he says in this case, they'll come claiming that they are the Messiah. And they're going to deceive many because it's a vulnerable time in life. Because you want it to be over. I'll be glad when the summer get here. I'll be glad when the sun comes up. The prophet had to tell them, weeping may endure for a night. Night being synonymous to the winter. He says, but what I need you to do is kind of hold on because the morning is coming. All right. Don't panic. This that we're going through is bringing forth something that will bring glory to God. Stay with the word. Stay spiritually minded. Do get through this. Remind each other, we've got to get through this. Life is coming. Verse number 9, he says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. Focus is because of me. Whatever you're having to do, Hear me carefully, and whatever you're having to endure during this time is because you're keeping the faith. If you were not trying to keep the faith, you would be having a heyday like everybody else. Woe to them that are at ease in the call of Zion. Man, this is a time to be strong in your faith. Let me tell y'all something. Look up for a minute. People that have never traveled before, I've never seen so many people going out of the country, in and out. They're here, they're over there, they're over here, and they're over there, and over there, and over here, and over here. For me, I need to stay close to family. This is just dawn. All right. My wife asked me, you a person who loved to travel and have gone so many places, why is it that now, all of a sudden, for my own spiritual reasons, this is just not a good time to get on an airplane and go too many places far at all. Not unless it's just totally necessary. I can call you, I can talk to you. Now, I said only if it was something that required me to. But now it's just like we're right here and we're just going till we can't go no more. And I don't want to use that as an example only, but people are just finding it just a peaceful time to just have a heyday. He says, but when you keep the faith, I don't want to make this so that I'm concluding some things here and suggesting something that I'm not suggesting. He says, then you're going to be handed over and you're going to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. All I want you to hear in verse number 9 is that the only reason that things are the way they are is because you're keeping the faith. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray, and they will hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Without being specific, I like to listen, keep in tune to what's going on in the nation so that I can compare it when I feel like it, or I'm more should I say led to. But I chose not to during this presidential election to just want to hear anything, period, till later when it's over. Y'all tell me who's what. I'm going to maintain my civic responsibility. I'm going to be a good steward, and I'm going to be directed by a sense of being your leader supposed to do things. But I don't have to get in that avenue. We avoid traffic, don't we, John? We'll go around to keep from having to go through traffic. I'd skip the traffic of all of this because you're making this much more, and it's things that we really don't want to have to deal with. There's going to be an increase of wickedness, verse number 12, and the love of most will grow cold. Verse number 13, but to the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Verse number 14, and the gospel, the preaching, the teaching, what you're getting right now of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This now kind of puts the ball in my court. Don, preach like you never preached before. Teach like you never taught before. Stand firm. Don't turn down, turn up. Make sure that what they get and all they're getting, get a what? Understanding. Don't massage their souls. Don't feed their itching ears. Don't get taken by mammon, which is money. Don't be bought. Don't be sold. Don't be hoodwinked. Don't be bamboozled. Stand firm in the word. Teach. This is the time that people need a sermon about the winner. This is a time that they need some clear language, something clear, something that they don't have to work hard to digest, but something that they can walk away with right now and walk out of here and they can encourage themselves. Their hope will be increased. Their peace will come in greater measures, and they're going to walk out of here better than what they come in, not because anything necessarily changed physically, but because they are in a better place as it relates to their relationship with God, their concepts of God, and their degree of faith. Teach it hard, man. Look in their faces. See that they're absorbing it. See that they're understanding it. See that they're getting something that they not only need, but that they want. Verse number 15. So when you see in the holy place the abomination. Now see, here is something that I had to really work with, because teachers, and I'm going to say some, even as like in what you comparing me to, y'all look at me right here, want to take the word of God and they want to scare you with it, because they think that fear, which is what this nation always does, places people under control, and it does. Put some person in a position of fear and you can make them do what you want to do. The word of God is something that is given that is not fearful, but he says the babes are going to be able to dissect this and understand this. But to those that want to make it complicated and want to make life all that deep and not place a focus on God and have a peace that God give them, boy, you'll mess around and you'll let this word of God beat you up too. These are words of comfort. This is not something to beat you beside the head. He says, when you see, and this is what is called the aorist tense. That's what I was trying to understand earlier. Let me just work with that first part of verse number 15. He says, now you think, here is why I want you to, Tracy, and you can appreciate this. All of us are going to appreciate it. He says, when you see standing in the holy place, you notice how all of a sudden he doesn't speak future. He speaks like now. Like everything that we have been talking about, as in though I could preach this to you like this is something that's going to come. He's telling them that this is happening right now. He says, when you see standing in the holy place. Get that clear now. So it is as though there is a winter experience in this entire text that they're sitting in the midst of right now as it relates to the spiritual definition of winter, not the literal, but the spiritual definition of winter. They're undergoing that right now because the abomination is something that is detestable. When you see the abomination that causes desolation, when you see this stuff that is like cyanide, stuff that brings death, that lowers the quality of life, abomination is something that is not only distasteful, it is repulsive. Tracy, I don't know that you remember, Keisha, you were young, y'all the same, about the same age. And I taught this on Wednesday nights at Bible study so much, and I talked about the abomination of desolation. And I remember what I was saying then. It simply says that when you see what you thought was really something that represented God, and all of a sudden God gives clarity to it and says, this is not representing God at all. This is just a place of wickedness and evilness. Doesn't mean that you look at the person and say, oh my God, I thought that, and you know, they got so much stuff out about these spiritual leaders and they done locked in great national preachers and they got them mixed up with Sean Combs and everybody's just having this big old just, they just got one big old whole big ugly ungodly orgy and they're locking everybody in with it. your preachers and your teachers, when you start seeing these things that are distasteful, and it don't have to be that big. It can be just right here locally. It could be with the finance. It could be with the, my God, you're reading the news, you all, and you got the youth pastors with the this they doing, then this, and then the pastor's daughter shot the dad, the pastor, and then went over to the estranged wife and shot the wife and her friend. And it's a lot going on, y'all. And I ain't talking about outside of what we call the church house, but it's in the church house. It's madness. When you start seeing these things that are distasteful and repulsive happening in a place that it shouldn't be going on, because we would have thought, boy, the church house is a place where you can go and you ain't going to find none of this stuff. This is a place that you run to. And I mean, it's almost in some cases, this is the worst. He says, when you see these things start to occurring, just know that this season is going to happen. It was happening then, and it's happening now. And these cycles continue to go over and over and over. But one thing still remains the same. God gave you a peace that when it happens in your time, when that comes around, you done lived long enough now, and you done been in Sunday school, and you done grew up in church, and you done kept the faith, and now you got here. But this is not the first time that this is happening. It's been reckless before. But while you see all of this, this is a time where life is actually being given. Let me tell y'all something. I love whoever is decided to be the leader of this nation, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means that whoever the president is, whoever the premier is, whoever them, whatever leader, whatever you call your president in any nation, from Putin to Trump to Biden to whomever, they exist in my Father's creation. The earth is the Lord's. You gotta be my man, because you are in my Father's earth. You are in His creation. The Word of God teaches me that there is no power that is equivalent to or greater than the power of God. Fact check. You have lived through George Wallace, Jim Crow. You have lived through men that have led this nation, that saw you as being less than a human being, and you survived all of that. You made it through all of these various campaigns and times. Administrations was the word that I'm looking for. You have survived through all of those administrations, where, and mine being in the early 60s, where it says, the governor of the state says, before I permit my child to be in the classroom with a person of color, I'll shut all of the schools down. The schools were never shut down. I sat in the classroom with people that were a race that was not myself. I didn't have to be bitten by dogs. I didn't have to be watered down by fire hoses. But the God that I serve, through all of this, now you mean to tell me that I'm going to get in panic over some economics and some interest rates and some prices of fuel and some cost of some groceries? None of y'all look like y'all missed a meal. Starting with me. Now, why am I going to worry and concern myself so much so? And I'm not being selfish. This is for my children and my children's children that I'm about to be turned topsy-turvy and over and all messed up. You know what it tells me? Because the interest rates ain't what they, boy, don't sell what you got. Hold what you got. Is that about right, John? I'm good where I am right now. If things get better, we'll make a move. But Keisha, for right now, baby, no, we won't be doing no buying and no selling right now. The Spirit of the Lord is clear. Huh? Wisdom says right now, just be still. That's all. I'm about to get to where I'm going to tell you. You got to be so spiritual minded that while God have you running 80 miles an hour, he tell you hit the brakes. I sure hope you got your seatbelt on. Because I don't mean we going to slow to a stop. We going to come to a screeching halt. The Lord say stop. Listen to what he tells you right now. So when you see standing in the holy place, these things happen, this is what he wants you to do. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Catch this. Judea represents the place of praise, a portion of faith. And you're just a shouting away, brother. And you just speaking in tongues and you doing all of that. He says, flee to the mountain. Which says to me, when I see all of this coming, seek a higher level of spiritual existence. Somebody say, I'm in the mountain. Now tell them to go higher. I have faith. Seek more. In those days, let me see. Then let those who are in Judea, or he's caught, in this case, Judah is the place of praise. I know it says Judea. But I'm wanting here, not just to play on words. But he says, even Tracy, if you're in that place of praise, seek a higher level. Go higher. Go into the mountains. Now it's colder up there if this is wintertime. So this is where you take from the literal to the spiritual. But it is a place of increased peace. Security and comfort in God. Let's continue to read verse number 17. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. That's what I was saying right now. You have to tell one another, it's time to be still. Don't run around gathering up, losing your life over material stuff. Be still. Let the one that is on the housetop don't go down to take anything out of the house. Don't panic. Oh, I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose that. I'm going to foreclose on this. They're going to repossess this. They're going to be, you know what? I'm on the housetop. I'm in the mountain. Take whatever you want, if that be the case. I'm not coming to save. I'm not. And then keep also your mind in a spiritual place and don't be conformed. Don't stress yourself about the conditions of what's going on here because of your spiritual aptitude. Let no one in the field go back to get their coat. He says how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Here is the symbolism. This is where I found the relationship to what I said earlier. At a time when life is coming forth. Now, I'm not just talking to women, Jock. I'm talking to you and I, too. It's because there is something that God is bringing forth in us in the season to come. This is a time of new birth. This is the summation of all that we've gone through. This is not a time for us to panic. Changes of life is happening in all of us. It's happening in me, and it's happening in you, and changes of life is occurring in different ways. My father-in-law has gone through a transition of life over the last days as he sat and had what they felt was a codependency on machines, when what he was really connected to was something that they could not see, which was something that came down out of heaven that plugged into him. You cannot be deceived by what's in front of your eyes that causes you to lose focus on God. He says, at this time, we're all in that literal winter, symbolic summation, rebirth, and spiritual newness. Spiritual aptitude. We're all right now in that, in our own travail. We're going through our own growing pains. Life is happening right here. Life is happening in ways that you don't know that it's happening. You are giving your sons at this time, while you're going through, more than you have ever given them in their life, from pens and papers to shoes and shirts. You're giving your children right now more than you have ever given them, in giving them funds for education, cars. What's emanating, what's eluding, what's coming, exuding, what's coming out of you right now is giving life because of your faith. When you ride down the road, when you go down the freeway and you see a tree that is bare and you never noticed it when it was flourishing with leaves, just know that this is the summation of it all. I like the way that he said, I noticed a tree that if you cut it off, you hewn down, and you can't see the tree up here, but the root system that is deep, that it continues to grow until it reaches water and it comes up in another place. But as far as this world thinks, they think that we're being cut off because of COVID, because of monkeys that can't be found, because of whooping cough and every other bacterial disease. I had my wife, and I wanted her to look at it because I didn't want her to be bothered by it. But I showed the video that I watched, and I haven't eaten McDonald's in 17 years. That's my story, and don't let me tell you nothing about it. That was just my choice. That's because I wanted to do it. It was because I wanted to show you, in all of your power, you don't control what I put in my mouth. And that was just all I did. That was just for me. That was just because I wanted to do it. Then I let her see the video that I wanted her to see, because I wanted her to see that they said that McDonald's controlled the whole beef industry, because they consume more beef than anybody in the whole world. So when McDonald's say you can't grass feed a cow, you gotta seed feed a cow because it don't produce them fast enough, then Monsanto put a patent on every seed that there is. You can't buy a seed that Monsanto don't have a patent on. So a farmer can't take his seed, clean it, and replant it to do a crop, because he will violate the patent. And Monsanto has investigators that go when they see you cleaning your seed, and they will put you in court until you have absolutely nothing. And she said, she just kept all her way to sleep. She says, oh, Lord, have mercy. Jeez, that just bothered her. Immigrations have nothing to do with who's the president, because you can see that when they had them working the fields, as soon as they deport 1,000 Hispanics back to Mexico, the bus is bringing in 1,500. Because they have worked for the last 2 years, now they deport them, send ICE in, arrest them, accost them, send them out, and bring 2,000 back in, fresh people in the field. It's because you're getting too comfortable here, and we don't want you to, so we send you back and make you cycle. It's just all of that kind of stuff, people. We don't have to feed you a tomato. We just give you something that looks like a tomato. That's why you can get a tomato no matter what season it is. That's why you can eat greens all year long. It's because it's not greens anymore. It's just something that looks like greens. Genetically modified. Everything is genetically modified. What gave birth to the animal you eat was genetically modified. So that animal is genetically modified. I didn't come here to teach this today. But I'm just saying, in the midst of all of this, when I get ready for a bag of Lay's potato chips crunch, when I get ready for a Snickers bar, get ready to pick the peanuts from my teeth. Huh? There is no place of safety, but there is only the peace in God. Overindulgence is going to kill everybody. Before the genetically modified food kill you, eating too much of anything is going to take you out. I don't want to eat carbs. I don't want to eat this. I don't want to eat that. I'm not telling you to live unhealthy. I'm telling you to find your focus in God. It's wintertime. For then, how dreadful it's going to be in those days for a pregnant woman and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in the wind. Don't wait till winter to get ready for winter. Tell your neighbor what I just said. If you don't like to be cold, get the blanket ready, John. Make sure it's clean and ready and fresh, ready to throw across you, just like I got mine in the foot of the bed in that little thing. I washed it the other day. I got it ready because it's been sitting in there since last fall, so I wash it because I'm getting ready, because when it comes time, it's going to be over me, fresh. My coat's in the back seat. I'll keep pushing it around until it's time to use it. He says, you pray that your flight don't take place in the winter. He simply says, don't wait until you really need that peace of God to start crying out for it at a moment. Get it right now. Get it today. Walk out of here, and when you look at the trees, they ain't going to look the same. In those days, if it hadn't been cut short, no one would have survived. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. And I'm going to stop on that because that takes one. And I'm going to close you with Mark number 11. Closing with Mark chapter 11. Look at verse number 12. This is the closing verse. The next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was what? He was what? Hungry. And what did he see at a distance? And based on a tree having leaves, that means that it probably has. And he recognizes the leaf. He recognizes the tree by the what? By the leaves. But when you're full of fluff, you can't see the fruit. He see the leaves in expectation of getting fruit. If you got all of those blessings and God been that good, I ought to see a lot of faith. And you run around here with new cars, new houses, new clothes, money ain't got you waiting on. If I see all that fluff, I ought to see some faith. I'm talking about in God. I'm not talking about what you have. Somebody say amen. He went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found what? What does the text say? None believe. Y'all ever seen Jesus upset? He's upset. He is upset, but he's not going to let the sun go down on his anger. He's upset because his expectation of you was to find fruit, not just leaves. Here you are in the spring, summer, and fall, and you full of leaves, all colorful, green. I don't know which one you're doing, but I expect to find some true faith under all of that. He found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Well, if it's not the season for figs, how in the heck did you get the leaves? You done prayed God give you all of this for what? He done brought you this far for what? I brought you through for what? You prayed to get through for what? For this? You got to realize that the only way God's going to get something out of what he did for you is if you bear fruit. Other than that, you just self-absorb. You flossing and fluffy. That's all. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. This is the first time that I saw Jesus take the life out of anything. And it's the only time that I saw him do it during his mortal life. He just took the life out of that tree. Read it. It's over for that tree. I'm leaving this with you all today. Don't you be your own worst enemy. Don't let the course of your life, the seasons that you've been through, get you to this point. And all you can do is just floss. Go down farther. Verse 19. When the evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. Now they're going back the way that they came. In the morning, as they went along, what did they see? And what was it? And Peter remembered. What did he remember? That Jesus said, this tree is cursed and is withered. Verse number 22, what did Jesus tell them to do? You better learn from this tree. Have faith in God. And that's what I want to leave y'all with today, with my sermon about the winter. Have faith in God. Don't let anything stop your focus. Problems, circumstances, issues. Don't let anything. I told my wife today, this is real personal for me. God is holding cold weather up for Don. It's working for me. I'm making it work for me. And you've got to find whatever the circumstance is where you say this is favorable for me. Let whoever the president of the United States is be favorable for you, even if it don't work for nobody else. Let whatever law they pass in the state of Alabama, let it be favorable for you, even if it don't work for anybody else. Why? Because of my faith in God. Now, don't go try to explain this to nobody, because you're going to go and you're going to say, my preacher told me to love Trump and I'm following him. I didn't tell you no sort of the thing. And you know what? In a sense, you're so right. I should, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I ain't never dislike him anyway. This ain't no sermon on the president and name because it happened, but I'm certainly using it. I feel like whoever God kept out was supposed to be out. Because God is going to do what works good for us, and that's only for you to be able to see it that way. Amen. They always do. They always do. If you get me to pick the next one leader, I'd pick one of y'all. Because I know it'd be in my favor then. I'm gonna get some. I don't want no position. I'm just gonna beat it. What purpose does he serve in here? I don't know. He's just been here ever since I moved in office. That's just Don. Don't pay him no attention. I want an office. I look up. I respect y'all. Come to your feet today. Let me encourage y'all to do this as well. Continue to be faithful in your giving. All of us. It don't happen sometime all of the time. But don't just write God completely out. If you've never given before, this is a good time for you to do something different. Give something. All right? Do that. I was going to, and I have asked for special contributions to do special things, but I'm just going to ask you all to be faithful and obligate myself as I have since Nation's Harvest has been in existence. I'll take care of the rest. I just ask you to be faithful in what you do. Amen? And that is, you give. Support this ministry. Keep me in prayer. And tell the Lord, keep my man of God with the word. God, keep his eyes open. Let him come talk to us about something else, because now we're watching the winter, the fall. Winter's coming. And he told us something that make a lot of sense. And that is, I'm going to stop tripping over all of this mess. Now, you're going to have to correct some folks, because we did. Me and Cassie did. Because somebody messed around and said the wrong thing in the wrong place, but we didn't get mad. We didn't go back on Facebook and say something back. We made a call and we said, take that down. We don't represent ourselves like that. Now, you do what you want to do, because that's yours, but don't put us in it. Because we don't want anybody even thinking that we done flipped a trip or got a problem, because we really, really, for real, we don't. No. And when you take my daughter's picture and you put it and you say something about it, you just did that to me. And that's the wrong thing. You'd probably rather put mine up there. Because when you do it to one of my kids, you just did it. And I'm going to deal with that accordingly. All right? So I'm not saying go out there and let nobody push you over. Stand firm in your faith. I'm going to say it. Stand your ground. You stand firm in your faith. All right? All right. That's what I'm saying. Stand firm in your faith. That's where you stand. Because stand your ground, that means go out there and do something. But stand firm in your faith. Amen. All right? God bless you all. Tell y'all this on the lighter side. We sitting up watching the movie last night after we had went. Spent some time. Went on a date last night. And this dude had come into the theater. You know, when you come in the theater after it started, it's dark in there. You can't see nothing. Well, this dude was looking for somebody. And we sitting on where you can't go no farther on the back row. And he kept coming, and he was looking at us. Because of where we went earlier, lady didn't have her, she didn't have her stuff in her purse because she had left it in the car. She looked at me and said he was going to get this cell phone thrown at him. And boy, if that wasn't funny, because when you, of all the times I'd have messed around and caught you without a pistol, and she said, I was finna throw this cell phone. He was looking for somebody. I knew it, and I'm laughing. But when she said that last night, I was like, a cell phone? Really? That's all you got, Cassie? I said, he was looking for the lady down there that I saw come in early, and he found her. I said, he was looking for somebody. He can't see. He looking for her. Right now, he just staring at us because he trying to make out if we who he's looking for. That was funny, baby, but you always do. You are always my animation in life. Amen. I love y'all. I'll see you all next week. God bless you.